Merry Christmas! From all of us here at the Generic Live Show, this is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thank you everyone for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show. Merry Christmas. You know what? I'm saying it already, and I don't really care if you don't like it. I'm saying it already, all right? It's a week away. I can get away with saying it. You can get away with saying it. Yep, whatever. I think around this time of year is acceptable for you to say Merry Christmas to someone on the 17th of December. It is acceptable because it's so close to the season. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on a Thursday. We've got a jam-packed show, as promised. We've got to pay commemorations to the people in Sydney from the Sydney Siege that took the world by storm this time last year. First, couple of programming notes. First, I do want to apologize for my absence last week. I was feeling a little bit under the weather. I'm still feeling a little bit under the weather at the moment, but that's okay. We're pushing on. We're pushing, going gung-ho, and we're pushing forward regardless of that fact. We will be here next week and the week after. We're still trying to figure out programming notes for when I'm actually in America, but we will let you know on times and details on when those broadcasts will take place. But rest assured, we will be here at Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve will be more of a casual kind of... It would still be a formatted show, but it will be doing some of the best of 2015. Best of 2015 stuff in there, be warned as well. That is really distracting, the sunlight coming through the window at the same time, but that's okay. We'll push on for the podcast listeners. So much to get through, like I said, so we're just going to dive head first in. We've got a couple of stories that we have been following all year. We've been following these stories. We told you earlier on in June about the Melbourne riots. If I didn't, I do apologize, but I'm pretty sure that made the show. I'm pretty sure. Like I said, Sydney Siege, we got a lot of politics stuff. You know, we're getting on with it. In baby formula bonanza news, which is a very strange title for it, trust me, I know, but it's popping up again, saying that they're dragging Woolworths through the mud again. It's worth a mozza to a grey market baby formula dealer. Baby formula has now gone up in price. According to Dana McCarley from news.com.au, this flimsy scrap of paper is worth $114. But for a grey market exporter with crack team of supermarket trailers in tow, it represents untold millions. We all know about the Chinese parents willing to pay a premium for Australian baby formula, with milk powders flying off the supermarket shelves and leaving locals scrambling to find stock. But it's the humble shopper docket that helps the key to the lucrative trade. Finally, we've got the smoking gun in this story. Can the Australian media now shut up about baby formula? I mean, I have not heard enough of baby formula in the last 6 weeks because of this story, but we'll push on. And, you know, me covering these stories doesn't really help either, but, you know, I'm not the mainstream media. I mean, we could be talking about more important things, like, you know, the Republican debate, or why, you know, we could be talking about American news, but we're Australian, so we put Australian news first. But, you know, more important things, like, you know, presidential debates around the world, or why school districts are closing down, which, if the show was yesterday, that would have been the hot button issue of the day. But now it's hot baby formula. So, you know, we like to distract ourselves as much as we can here in Australia. But pressing on It's the humble shop at Docket that finds the key to lucrative trade. I've read that already. It serves as a certificate of authenticity for the sought-after goods. No, it doesn't. Well, it serves as a proof of purchase. I'll give you that. Sitting alongside the $56 receipt, even though you said it was $144 before, are two cans of the popular Balmy's Organic Infant Formula bought at which could fetch around $200 in China. Should I go back and beep that? I should go beep that. Yeah, let's do that. Note that down. 1206. Okay, noted. There you go. Editing. On Wednesday to fetch about $200 in China. They're exported by the pallet as part of the booming grey market worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Think Chinese director Benjamin Sun, a marketing expert who specializes in Chinese commerce, told news.com.au that the exporters routinely sold baby formula into China along with proof of purchase, which is what a receipt is, by the way. This reassures the buyer that they're getting something authentic, clean, and green, in quotation marks. Australian products sold at retailers... Australian retailers. Mr. Sun told exporters also wrapped cans of formula in Australian newspaper while packing them for export was proof of their presence. He said this was evidence that allowed the cans to be sold massively inflated prices in Chinese supermarket shelves in a grey export market worth... I wish they'd stop repeating that. Quote, in China at the moment, I can see the shops selling infant formula for $100 a can. The popular brand of baby formula that started this whole thing has recently been raised 30%. It had a 30% increase here locally to $28. So there you go. It's not just Chinese-Australian shipping gifts of formula to their families overseas. So-called buying agencies send shipping containers of the stuff to retailers in China. In telling images captured in China on Wednesday afternoon, cans of Australian formula have found their way to China. The port of Qingdao, I'm pretty sure I'm saying that wrong, where they sell... 3 or 4 times the Australian retail price. Now, one formula is being sold for $77.71. Another one is being sold for $107.2, and a lower brand is being sold for $66.57. Whereas the first one, the A+, we'll say that, can be sold from most brands are $18 to $28. Of course, the one mentioned that started all this is the upper end, and the Nestle one could be found. Well, I shouldn't say that. No, I can say that. I don't. No. Yeah, anyway, it's weird. It can be found at as cheap as $16.70 as well. Excuse me. So, supermarkets, of course, we covered the story about 6 weeks ago, if you remember, as well. But the thing is, it's strange because we covered this 6 weeks ago, and it's now mothers around the country are complaining. I don't know what this article is complaining that they're saying that we have to pay more for baby formula now because, you know, it's supply and demand. This is basic supply and demand. It's not, and I'm not knocking on mothers, and it's probably because my coffee hasn't kicked in yet, but I'm not knocking on mothers that it's strange to me that it's because we are trying to get the supply back up, and once you have to, if you push the supply up, you know, you have to push the price up. The price goes up, you know, with lack of supply, the price goes up. You know, you have to, you know, you have to give a little, get a little. But it's the economy. There's only so much that you can give and get with the economy. I'm sorry, but and this is the case with chocolate as well. We've seen, excuse me, chocolate be in an abundance of supply, and the price has gone down. But when chocolate has become scarce, we've seen it. The price gone up. It's supply and demand. There's no other way around it, unfortunately, and it sucks that way because there's only so much give and take that you can do. But meanwhile, stories of actually what happened at that supermarket that day are emerging as well, which is interesting as well. So, the supermarket chains have imposed 2 to 4 can limits. Meanwhile, staff member said ethnic Chinese customers who lined up outside the city store for 6 a.m. then come in, run straight upstairs to the baby formula and clear the shelves. An employee told this to news.com.au. The exporter were getting around these limit rules. The staff member was quoted by news.com.au for saying, quote, "There is a 4-can limit, but they would go hide them all over the store. Buy 4, run out, get changed into different clothes, come back and buy more. I've had people ring up and say, let me buy a pallet and I'll give you $3,500. Whoa, that's bribery. That is bribery. The staff says, was quoted by saying, no, sorry, I can't do that. I'm not going to risk my job for that. He does confirm that the supermarket that was targeted did in fact monitor how much cans were being purchased. Mr. Sun, mentioned earlier in the article, told the Australian government needs to take action to create legislative to supply channel in China, or the problem will continue. And with China's one-child policy over, he says, the demand is going to keep growing. A Woolworths spokesperson for the supermarket says, quote, they work hard to ensure there is significant infant formula available to all its customers. We've been working with suppliers to increase supply. At the same time, they've lowered out limits of tins per transaction to 4, they said. We enforce this by stopping larger transactions at the till. Well, no, you didn't. I'm sorry. But no, and I'm in a weird mood today, as you can tell. But no, they didn't, because, you know, they clearly didn't. Or if the story is now being changed to one person didn't, in fact, buy all that baby formula, there was more than one person buying it, then that makes more sense, because they would get out, they would get changed, and yeah, I would believe that story. Trust me, I do. I don't believe that the exporters are trying to scheme the system. I don't doubt that at all. But my point is, we're not. It's baby formula. Can we beat each other up over something else? Trust me, there's more important things to be beating each other up over. But alas, we're still beating each other up over baby formula. But like I said when I first covered this story, I mean, you gotta take the pluses, you gotta take the minuses. I mean, parents got really, really finicky, understandably, over which baby formula they could choose. But they could have easily gone and selected another one if they wanted to. But notice, we locally have gotten stocks back in of that baby formula, because we're at the end of the supply chain, basically, for our state here, being at the northern part. But apart from that, of that popular brand of baby formula, which I have advised not to name due to last time, because of that, we've gotten stocks back in, and because of our stocker, we've gotten cartons in, but we can only fit one carton in on the shelf at a time. So I don't know about other stores' kind of layout, but of that particular baby formula brand, we can only fit one carton on at a time, so therefore they can only buy three. They can only buy three at a time unless they go convince a staff to go get them more. That's the only way. And this is not only baby formula that we have to train staff into serious kind of limits on things. There's limits on tobacco, there's limits on alcohol that you can sell to people. There's limits because of society. There's society draw those limits for a reason, to protect and serve the people. That's their job. Anyway, as we continue here on GLS, let's get off that topic. Woo! Wow. Now we haven't got long to cover this other one here. A story from June. The Melbourne reprimand set it right. More than a dozen people have been arrested today, Thursday. More than a dozen people arrested on Thursday morning after June's mass riot at the Melbourne Remand Centre. Police say 13 former inmates were arrested across the city this morning, but a further 100 have been identified and will be charged on summons to face court over the riot that caused an estimated $25 million of damages. The core group of prisoners will be charged with sabotage, which investigators say is a Victorian first. The men will also face non-related offences. We'll face riot-related offences. Okay. In the last month, detectives from Task Force Gilliam have interviewed 120 men, and they think they've identified have been involved in the June 30 uprising. Police have spoken to the men still in prison, as well as those who have been released in Melbourne and regional areas. Investigators began the operation around 4 a.m. Thursday morning, making the arrests across the metropolitan area. Quote, this morning's arrests are the culmination of a lengthy, thorough and comprehensive investigation by a dedicated team of detectives, Sergeant Sharon Darcy said. She said it took detectives more than 300 witnesses' statements from both prisoners and Corrections Victoria employees. The 12-hour riot on June 30 occurred less than a day before the smoking ban was implemented. That's right. On July 1, that's right, July 1, 2015, they banned smoking in all prisons. I forgot about that. I have to note that down. You know, every single day I'm reminded of the crazy stories that came up in 2015. Well, the 300 prisoners were eventually free to roam the grounds, tear down the internal fences and destroy documents and equipment. The reprimand centre remained in lockdown for months afterwards, meaning the prisoners were confined to their cells 23 hours a day. Three prison guards and a police officer were injured, and six inmates were hospitalized in the riots. The charge of sabotage carries a maximum 25-year sentence and was introduced by former Attorney General Rob Hulls in 2003 in response to terrorism. A person who is convicted of the charge, important legal notes, under Section 247K of the Crimes Act, must have damaged a public facility either physically or through computer crime. Prosecution must also prove the accused intended to cause major disruption to a government function or public service or caused major economic loss. So that's a little update there on a developing story that we have been following. As we continue here on GLS for a Thursday, thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, thank you so much. We're on a busy Thursday. And of course, we could, like I said earlier, we could be talking about other things, but you have chosen our generic live show that includes things that aren't really important. This show doesn't require much thinking, but we are going to have a thought-provoking conversation about the New Zealand flag. Our friends across the pond have decided they're going to mix things up. When is Australia going to mix things up with their flag? Are we? Are we ever? Interesting conversations as we continue here on GLS. It's 12:21. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thank you everyone for joining us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. That's right, it's a little bit of a disco silent night there. Look at this guy. Yes. Alrighty, thank you everyone for joining us here on a busy Thursday here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thank you everyone for joining us. I forgot to mention though, at the top of the show, I will mention it here though, so it is a good place to mention it because we had so much to cover in that first segment. I thought we did a pretty good job of covering all of the show in that first segment. So, mention it here. Stay safe over the weekend, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Please do not kill yourselves while watching the new Star Wars movie. I know it is out. I know it is out and about. I don't know when I'm actually going to get a chance to go see the movie, by the way. I do have all intentions to see the movie. I have seen all six of them. But the problem is, and I don't really, I am a bit of a casual nerd and geek. I geek out about other really, really bizarre things, like baby formula, if you were paying attention. But I have watched the Star Wars movie. I don't really follow them as much, but it is a big deal. The entertainment industry is exploding. Highest please fact check me if I'm wrong, but it's the highest sales for the highest pre-sales for a movie of all time. So I'm going to offer, and I know we have this New Zealand flag story, so we'll push that back a little bit, but I want to give you five Dale tips to survive Star Wars this weekend, if you're going to trek out and see it this weekend. Or if you've already seen it, tell your friends to use these five tips, all right? That Dale inspired, so you'll love this. First of all, be a crowd pleaser, not be a crowd charmer, not a crowd pleaser. What do I mean by that is, don't be a class clown. Don't try and be pleasant to the crowds, but don't cause ruckus in the crowds. Second of all, there will be diehard fans there, so please respect other people. You know, please do respect other people, and you know, they have paid significant money, and they've waited a long time for this, so please be respectful. So be a cloud pleaser, respect other people. Three, please abide by the laws. Just because you're excited by something, that means the laws still apply to you. You aren't getting exempt from the laws as well. And I just got a message. I have no idea who that is. Meanwhile, Lowe's is texting me. That's not my third tip. My fourth tip. So Cloud Preser, respect laws. Just because you're excited the laws still apply, please abide by them. They're there to keep us safe. Fourth rule. Now, I understand, I enjoy a bit of popcorn, and this kind of fits into the second one as well. But don't, you're there to enjoy a movie. Don't go too hardcore on popcorn and sweets. Because you're there to enjoy a movie. If you're taking a partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, alien, whatever you decide to take, or whoever you decide to take to the movie, that is good. But don't go overboard with the sweets. Because if you're making an event of this, you're probably more than likely want to go out for dinner or something afterwards as well. So don't do that. And also, don't make a fool of your partner. And fifth of all, get there early. And you might, and don't get upset if you're, if the session you want is sold out. Prep yourself. You might want to do a screen, you might not want to wait in line with a bunch of pre-ticketers. Yes, they have to account for people walking off the street, but you want to be prepared for the scenario where there's a huge line. So, Dale's casual 5 tips to survive the Star Wars weekend. So there you are. Be a crowd pleaser. Respect each other. Abide by the laws. Don't go heavy on the sweets. And be prepared for anything, because Star Wars, it's going to be a wild ride. Yes, it is. So wild. As we continue here on GLS. So, have you ever wondered what it would be like to finally get a reality headset here in this country? It's finally here. It's finally a Thursday. It's finally VR time. Speaking of Star Wars, virtual reality comes to Australia as well. You got Star Wars and VR this weekend. What more can a nerd ask for? I wouldn't have a clue. I don't know. As we continue, it's 12:31.
This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thank you so much for joining us here on a Thursday here on The Generic Live Show. Busy day. There's a lot going on in the world. I'm Dale Campbell. So glad that you could be with us here on a Thursday, just a week out from Christmas. That's right. It's so, you know, 2015. You know, let's sit here. Let's chill out. You know, we're on the rundown to the end of the year. You know, there's not a lot going on. Excuse me. There's not a lot going on, and I do apologize for not being here last week. I was feeling a little bit under the weather. That's why I have this musky voice, and you can still hear me coughing occasionally. Not on the ad breaks, so thank God. So, because if you heard me on the ad breaks, whoop, you know, there's a little bit of pep to your step. But yeah, 2015, there has been a rough year. It's been a year that has been eventful. I'll say that. It has been an eventful 2015. But an eventful 2015 or not eventful 2015, there is an event that happened in 2014 that I think set a lot of people up to be kind of this weird, like, shaping of kind of who we are. Like, there are events in life that bring people together in certain nations. There was the Paris attacks that brought people together. There's been mass shootings in America that have done what that has done. But and ultimately have brought they have brought communities together, like the San Bernardino shooting has arguably brought that community closer together, yes. I'm not denying that fact. But an event that hit us here personally in Australia was definitely the Sydney siege. And the Lytton Cafe siege, it 1 year ago, almost to the day, it was on Tuesday that it actually was the 1 year anniversary by date laws. The Monday was technically the day that it happened. It happened on a Monday, is what I'm saying there. But Tuesday was the actual commemoration of it being 1 year ago. There's been a lot that has happened in terms of that story that I haven't reported on here deliberately, and coincidentally, I suppose there's been little bit developments and that sort of thing. But everyone gathered around in Sydney, of course, to kind of commemorate the two lives that, of course, were lost. Tori and Katrina, the lives that were lost in terms of the Sydney siege. I think the Sydney siege taught me a valuable lesson. And I know this story happened, after the Paris attacks, but I really kind of want to harp back to the story of the hillbilly and the Jew that I was talking to, both of which identified themselves as that to me, so that's not me making any blanket statements, that's how they identified themselves to me, and how certain classes of people feel like they're hated in the world, only because that is the perception of them. And I said, well, what if I'm the most hated race in the world? And they're like, no, don't be ridiculous. And I went, well, you don't know that, from my perspective at least. Maybe in their little worlds, in their little secular worlds, maybe that is how they believe. And I'm not being rude when I say secular worlds, because that is the truth. Minorities tend to be around each other more often. That's just the nature of life. But I think Sydney, 1 year on, we covered the siege the day that it happened here on here on the Generic Live Show. And the power that story had, the I Will Ride With You, brought in the Muslim communities as well as kind of other outsiders, brought them in to the foreground. I think the thing with the I Will Ride With You hashtag is that it was such an impact on social media, excuse me, and everything like that. It just kind of, it stuck, because it was a powerful message that all Australians needed to get behind. It was definitely a message that all Australians needed to get behind. And the fact that they did was kind of impressive. You know? It was kind of impressive that all these Australians were welcoming in these foreigners to ride with them on public transport and even private transport. But 1 year on, my thoughts and prayers are still but with the families that have been affected, of course. I think they're the most important people that have always been affected by this, regardless of whether or not I'm talking about the actual people who, God bless them, risked their lives for this. That is courage by its textbook definition. But also the people who have been affected emotionally by this, because there's a lot of people that have. people lined up in Martin Place. Of course, tighten security because there's a bunch of people in a public place. that's just what needs to happen in a situation like that as well. So, you know, there's that as well. So, I still feel like, are we ready for the next time this happens? Are we ready? That's what the conspiratorial inside of me says. But, you know, there's no real, kind of telling, is there? I guess. I think Australians, because of our tough gun laws, we are not ready. And I think because of the exclusivity of guns to the authorities, and I think authorities, are the authorities ready? Then I think the answer to that question is yes, to a certain degree. Of course, you've got response times, you've got delays and that sort of thing, but are they, given the chance, are they ready? And I believe the answer to the question is yes. Are us as citizens emotionally ready for another Sydney siege like this? No, we're definitely not. And I don't think human beings will ever be conditioned to terror attacks being an actual thing. I don't think human beings are conditioned to be that. Well, the current generations, as they stand in the evolutional cycle, we're not conditioned to be kind of trained for that sort of thing as well. I don't want to sound like I'm all narcissistic about this. I believe these are innocent people's lives. The reason why I'm going on this big tirade is the Lord Mayor came out on Monday and said this was actually not a terrorist attack, despite coming out and saying that it was at the time. Now, backflip. Whether you think it's whether it's an entire backflip or not, I don't know whether him coming out on the anniversary, the commemoration of the event, and saying that it wasn't a terror attack when the hostages were forced to hold an Islamic State up to the glass window of the cafe. I don't think. And then a lawman comes out and says it's not a terror attack. It's okay to call it what it is. It's okay. It's A-okay. If it's a terror attack, it's a terror attack. Are we constantly getting threats for terror attacks? I'm actually not one to answer that question. But from public perspective, no, we're not. Whether our higher-ups are being kind of targeted in that way, perhaps, but I'm not one to answer that question from a gubernatorial perspective. But what is coming out on the day of commemoration and saying that something that was planned by a radical, and I hate that word with a passion, by the way, I can't believe I just said it, but a person who has been persuaded to attack other people from whether they were an upstanding citizen, right? And by the way, the gunman has been in and out of court like 50 times, and he is being held in some sort of captivity, if my understanding is correct. I think, and customs have even come out and said, yes, our procedure for this guy, we're bad. We recognize this. That's what they're saying. They're saying, yes, we recognize that he shouldn't have got in. We understand that. We've made an error. But the Lord Mayor coming out and saying on the day of the commemoration, it's not a terror attack. What is that? I'm sorry, but what is that? Coming out and saying the day after, yep, terror attack, Islamic State, Islamic State, Islamic State. Which, by the way, yes, it is an ISIS flag. It's a flag that belongs to that group of people. which is what a flag is. And we'll get to flag talk in a sec. I promise. We've got two stories we've got to carry over into the next hour. Actually, one, maybe. But, you know, and again, this is not me poo-pooing on anything. I'm not pooing on the graves of anyone here. I'm just simply stating facts. My thoughts and prayers are with the people of this. And I actually was going to include an opinion and argue with an opinion piece that said thoughts and prayers is what did this. It was titled this and it was referring to the Sydney siege. I have a very, very PG message to send to that person. You can go jump off some sort of thing into a pool of something else. Because, you know, no, thoughts and prayers did not cause this. Because this person obviously moved away from the group of people who believed in thoughts and prayers to become, to observe a flag and observe something that was something else. Being the Islamic State, moved away from their religion to a kind of group with a flag. They obviously moved away from their thoughts and prayers. They moved away from their... changed mentality. No, it's not the normal human citizen. It's not me. It's not Uncle Joe down the road. It's not Arnie... whoever in somewhere else. But it's not our thoughts and prayers. It's not the local church that is causing this stuff to happen. I'm sorry, but someone has to say that. Someone has to say, and I'm going to say it here. I'm going to say it at 12:47 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time Zone, Thursday the 17th of December 2015. I'm here to say that no, it's not our thoughts and prayers that are causing this. That opinion piece made me really, really angry, and I wasn't going to bring it up, but it just, in the flow of things, it kind of did happen. It's not, and I'm not pulling up the content of that article because it just will enrage me to go beyond that. But again, that the author of that article can go jump off of something into a pool of something else, because it's not our thoughts and prayers. It's not me. It's not the local church. It's not any Bible going person who is thwarting and praying. It's not even, and I don't mean to be racist at all here. And I know people go, oh, you don't mean to be racist, but it's not the Muslims who are abiding by the religion. If you step outside of that religion, you've changed your mentality. You are no longer in the state of mind of your thought and prayer that you were observing before. You're now observing, instead of observing thoughts and prayers, you're now observing a flag that symbolizes a group. That is what you're doing. That is exactly what has happened. It's not me. It's not thoughts and prayers. It's people trying to step outside of those thoughts and prayers is what is causing this. But, again, my condolences to the people who have been affected by this, and it is still a tragic story. It's still a tragic timeline to kind of lay out and kind of look at. I laid it all out again and looked at it and just went, it started at 9 o'clock in the morning and went for 17 hours. So, it's a terrible idea, and the event in Martin Place has already taken place, so, yeah, there you go. We got deep, deep, as we continue here on GLS, we're not getting deep anymore, but on the tail end of Star Wars, you know what, we have the ultimate tool that will go with your Star Wars nerdy weekend. You can now get it here in Australia, just like the new Star Wars movie. As we continue here on GLS, it's 12:50. Wishing your family
Tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
That's right, Merry Christmas from our family here at The Generic Live Show. Thank you so much for joining us here on a Thursday. Thanks for joining us. It's not Christmas Eve, though, so there you go. It's close to Christmas Eve, though. You can say Merry Christmas. It's okay. It's okay. We're 1 week exactly away from Christmas Eve. You can say Merry Christmas if you want to. You can say Happy Holidays. Or, as I've started saying, you can say Happy Christmas. So this is Christmas, the war is over. But apart from that, you know, excuse me, you can say whatever you like, but Merry Christmas to your family from our family here at the Generic Live Show. So yeah, I mentioned near the early part of the half hour here, earlier this hour. Hey, let's just go with that. Earlier this hour, I'm tired, leave me alone. Earlier this hour, I mentioned some tips for Star Wars. But if you're looking for a more nerdy weekend than just Star Wars, boy, have we got the tool for you. We've got the Samsung Gear VR virtual reality headset in Australia. It promises 360-degree web browsing. Australian phone users will be able to play virtual reality games, watch 360-degree films, navigate the web using their eyes as Samsung launches its third virtual reality headset. The new Samsung Gear VR will be made available in Australian stores for $159 this last Monday. It launched on Monday. There you go. For $159. Though users of the company's four most recent flagship phones will be able to use the technology. Samsung's headset is the growing number of virtual reality gadgets poised to launch in the coming year, with HTC, Oculus, Sony, and Microsoft planning to release virtual reality and augmented reality technology. Samsung's latest Gear VR will be the third virtual reality headset from the company, with this model accommodating for small and large screen phones, offering a more lightweight body and better padding. And my phone vibrated. Alrighty, let's mute that. Yes. I couldn't hear myself for a second there. Samsung Electronics Australia Mobile Vice President Prasad Gahail, butchered that name to all hell and back, said the headset was the largest push to drive, quote, forward innovation in our wearable technology offering. Quote, we see the Gear VR as a way to open the door to innovative virtual reality for Australians who demand the best mobile experiences, he said. The virtual reality headset was created in conjunction with Oculus and will deliver more types of content this time, however. In addition to interactive games delivered from the App Store, the new model will deliver a virtual reality web browsing experience called Samsung Internet Gear VR Beta. The app will make websites appear to surround the user and will show a 360 and 3D video sites, including YouTube. YouTube! The four phones compatible, like I mentioned earlier, will be the Galaxy Note 5, 6, I was about to read a private message. Galaxy S6 Edge Plus, Galaxy S6, and the S6 Edge. Samsung will also receive plenty of competition from the virtual reality space next year. So, yeah, virtual reality. It's a thing, you know. I like virtual reality. I think it's interesting. I have tried it before. But I think it's quite hard to get your head around, because it's quite difficult to find balance and that sort of thing. You really have to be doing it while sitting down as well, because that's the challenge, is trying to kind of find the right balance between where you're looking and where you actually are in the world. Immerse yourself in this fake world that is not real. So, no, but VR, it'll be cool to see some of the new features and some of the new things that people are doing with VR as well. As we continue here on GLS here on a Thursday, thank you so much for joining us. Man, that was a jam-packed hour. We jammed a lot into that hour. We've got a big hour coming up for you next, including... Do I read the same tease again twice? Do I do that? Do I really do that? I think I do. Including our friends across the pond who have decided to change our flag. When will we change ours? Interesting conversations as we continue here on GLS. It's 12:59.